In the southern part of Texas, in the town of San Antonio, is a fortress all in ruins that the weeds have overgrown.
FARA registration 7653, filed by Show Faith by Works, LLC, using the company Raincross Marketing to geofence and harvest data across evangelical Christian churches in America to propagandize these Christian congregations paid for by the state government of Israel. The foreign principle is the Israeli Foreign Ministry. Their stated goal is the largest geofencing campaign in U.S. history on behalf of Israel, on Christians. It states in this FARA registration, all of this. I also brought up how Turning Point USA geofenced Charlie Kirk's memorial. Andrew Colvett admitted as much on Fox News with Jesse Waters in the immediate aftermath. And they have accumulated almost 10,000 evangelical churches, I think it's a little bit under that, across America since Charlie died. TPUSA Faith has the largest network of Christian evangelical churches in America. I've asked you all to send me tips if you're a member of one of these churches. Send me any messaging you're receiving to your cell phones about pro-Israel propaganda, and many of you did. And I want to show you this. This is the first text message that I got here. I blocked out the name. This text message reads, "Hi, this is Jen with Friends for Peace. We are listening to different views about Israel today and would like to hear yours. Got a moment to stop, or got a moment to chat, excuse me, stop to end." This individual responded with, "Seriously, is this some kind of Zionist propaganda? If so, hard pass." And then the message responds and says, "I see how you feel. It can be frustrating when it seems like only one side is being represented. But I want to assure you that our goal is to have an open and honest conversation about the importance of the U.S.-Israel alliance." It then continues, "When Israel comes up in the news or online, what usually stands out to you?" The individual didn't respond. And then Jen, Jen asks, "Are you still around?" And now I want to show you this. Let me remove that, bring that up here. I'm going to present the screen to you. I then searched for this Friends for Peace online, and I came across this Reddit thread, Friends for Peace, Partners for Peace. These are all front names, but look at this. Consistent with the text messages I just showed you, if you take a look at this Reddit thread and you go down, I want to show you this one particular message that this individual left. You can actually dialogue with Jen or Jennifer, as you're about to see, or whoever. I mean, to be honest, it's an AI, right? It's an AI that is trained to issue propaganda and debate on behalf of Israel. This individual, Defective Zipper, from a month ago, said, "Looks like it's from a pro-Israel lobby. They asked for my opinion and proceeded to defend Israel. Them, it's great that you're open to sharing your thoughts. Israel is a country that deserves our support, especially when it comes to defending against terrorist groups like Hamas. When you hear about Israel in the news, what comes to mind first?" This individual then responds, which, "They do not deserve report, blah, blah, blah." Then Jen responds, "I understand that you're feeling strongly about this, and it sounds really difficult for you to see the situation this way. Israel is a country that's just trying to protect its people from terrorist attacks." Okay, so you see what's happening here. This is a back and forth that this AI or Jen or whoever this is, that's coming to these individuals' phones. These are coming to individuals' phones in the vicinities of these churches that are being targeted to propagandize them with Israeli, pro-Israel propaganda. These are Christian churches. We've gone beyond geofencing for companies to sell products and services, or at foreign governments or religious ideologies, infiltrating churches in the name of education or evangelization. I mean, this is evangelism for the state of Israel. It's evangelism for Zionism. It's no secret that I've made myself clear. This is what I'm concerned about Turning Point USA and Turning Point USA Faith. I'm concerned this is what they're doing, and I don't like it.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have a conversation for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March mega sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexhomestore.com.
From the front lines of the information war, this is the War Room with Harrison Smith. Join the battle now on fan.video and X worldwide.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Final hour, and I'm just gathering some information over the last hour that's broken, some videos. We're going to do some real-time discrimination here. We're going to try to discriminate between AI and the real deal. I think what I'll be showing you is almost entirely the real deal. But there are some crazy images coming out of Israel right now, out of Iran. Seems as though the Iranian missile attacks are not showing slowing down in any regard. And from RT, they say that, I guess it's Tasnim, the official Iranian news outlet, is saying that the USS Liberty has been hit with an anti-ship missile, perhaps. Again, I mean, this is just the world we live in now. I can't tell right off the bat what's true and what's not. And there's a lot of conflicting information, but as of now, RT, formerly Russia Today, says that Iran attacked the USS Abraham Lincoln, and this purports to be the video of the attack. Obviously, it's got some filters on it, so you can't quite see what really happened, but that is supposedly an attack on the USS Abraham Lincoln. Iran has successfully attacked Israel's airports. If we can go to that video, we see people running around the airport screaming. It's very it's getting crazy out there, folks. And yes, it's only getting crazier. Again, I am seeing some obviously AI things, and I'm not showing you those. I'm bringing you the stuff that I think is real, or that I can confirm is real. We can go to, and we also have another USS Army officer interrupting a Senate hearing to protest Gaza. So we're seeing more of that. Let's see this one. The one on the rooftop, it says Sejil missiles, but this is different. This is supposedly Iranian missiles breaking through American defenses in the UAE. It says Iran just hit a Patriot missile defense system in the UAE. The pride of America tech has gone up in smoke. Is CENTCOM going to call this friendly fire again? Guys, the video that says now Shell-Jet missiles are training. Let's watch this one. Do you see what I'm talking about, guys? All right. We're having some technical difficulties. I'm telling you, I'm pulling these videos in like as we speak because these are breaking so quickly. Let's go to this Army officer. So this is an Army officer interrupting a Senate hearing. I imagine we'll see a lot more of this. And I love this. This is what we need. We need men in their uniforms, having served this country and put their lives on the line, standing up again. I don't want to see a bunch of, you know, blue-haired hippies because, you know, they think Israel's white and they hate white people, you know, complaining about that. No, I want to see hardcore combat veterans who know the cost of war and know that it ain't worth the price to do what we're doing to Iran. So here is a retired U.S. Army officer interrupting a Senate hearing. Let's watch.
Stop! stop lying to the American people. You will stop and cease the war in Gaza.
You will stop nothing. You will cease the war. And you will not be seen by this committee again.
Stop the genocide in Gaza.
Why were you arrested?
I want them to stop the genocide in Gaza and proceed to stop lying to the American people, because they've been doing it for too long. They've been funding the genocide. Israel.
All right, need you to stop following. We're taking down the loading dock.
Well, we just had a retired U.S. Army officer just get arrested inside of the Senate intelligence hearing because the U.S. Senate is complicit in the genocide. They are funding this genocide. While this government is shut down, we have our Senate and our Congress still sending billions of dollars to Israel. There was an interruption by this Army officer to call for an end to the genocide, and that the U.S. is complicit in this genocide.
Yeah, very, very powerful stuff. And again, we need to see a lot more of that, because at the end of the day, that is the perfect visual of what's happening. It is the men who have volunteered, the best and most capable and patriotic among us, being silenced while their leadership sends them to a pointless war. We need to be standing up against this with everything we've got. Absolutely. And of course, it is really, at the end of the day, in abject violation of our character as Americans. And like, this is sort of the downstream danger of what we're doing in Iran, is we're not just shattering our ability to negotiate overseas. We're not just shattering the economy, and like, we're not just wasting all these missiles. Like, there's so many bad aspects to this, but one of the primary ones has to be, who the hell is going to want to fight for America now? Like, who is going to sign up to fight for America when this is how you treat them and how you spend their lives? Like, they're actually, by doing this to Iran, they are literally destroying us for the next couple centuries. It's pretty much over now. So this, from Truth Teller on X, Iran just hit a Patriot missile defense system in the UAE. The pride of American tech up in smoke. Is CENTCOM going to call this friendly fire again? And so, yeah, you're seeing massive hits in this city center, which again is going to absolutely destroy any sort of tourist activity to these areas that they rely on heavily. You can see the missile interceptors there firing up. But they fail, and the missiles get through anyway. And this is one video I am pretty confident is not AI. Like, just looking at it, I can just doesn't look like AI to me. There's another. I mean, AI is so good these days; it is really hard to tell. But I think there's some obviously AI ones that I'm not showing you. But it appears as though Iran, at least for the last couple hours, certainly has been bombing Tel Aviv and American installations in places like the UAE. And they've been carrying this out overnight there in the Middle East. Meanwhile, there is some interesting activity in the north of Israel. Of course, it was yesterday, the day before, rather, that Lebanon John called in to say, yeah, Hezbollah is not going to sit idly by while Israel issues orders to like a third of Lebanon to abandon their home so that it can be seized and annexed into Israel. And it hasn't gone very well for Israel so far. They lost 5 tanks, and the Radwan battalion in Hezbollah is now carrying out missions into Israel, and they've apparently captured some hostages from one of the northern Israeli settlements. Also, apparently, Bezalel Smotrich's son was one of the soldiers that has been injured. He's now a casualty of this conflict, as well as the fact that a lot of the drones that are being fired at American positions and the drones fired at Cyprus were all fired actually from Hezbollah positions, not from Iranian ones. So once again, told you so. I guess you can say that we knew when nobody else did. Isn't that interesting? Again, we have a lot more videos to go to here and get to, but I do want to take your call. So I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines now. If you want to give me a call about the Gaza war or the Iranian war, I'm going to open up the phone lines now. The number to dial, 1-877-789-2539. That's 1-877-789-2539. Clip number four here. This is a aerial shot of some of the damage in Tel Aviv. So this is the wreckage of one of the Iranian missile barrages that got through. We can go to clip number four here. So there you go. You got a... Yeah, pretty massive destruction. Obviously nothing like what Israel is currently carrying out in places like Beirut, but still sizable. And it's just more evidence that the claims of Israel and America are simply not true. The claims of our ability to stop the Iranian missiles, our claims of our ability or having already destroyed all of their missile batteries, it's just obviously not true. So, I mean, just take everything they say with a grain of salt. Clip 11 here purports to be Iranian strikes at the heart of Tel Aviv. We can see how they're faring under the assault. Oh, this is 3:45 a.m. in Israel. Sleepless night, it says. And you'll notice all the people standing out on the street. That's because non-Jews are not allowed into bomb shelters in Tel Aviv. So there's bomb shelters. The Jews go into the bomb shelters, but the non-Jews are not allowed in. And we talked about this back in June when Iran was bombing, and we showed you a couple videos of Thai migrant workers, or there was a guy from Amsterdam, there was a Dutch guy saying the same thing. But yeah, essentially, the limited space in the bomb shelters in Israel are reserved for the Jewish people alone, and the migrants or temporary visa holders there just have to risk it out in the open. Let's go to clip 12 here. This is Israeli opposition leader Yair Lapid and what he is calling to have done to Lebanon. Now, Lebanon didn't do anything to anybody, all right? Lebanon hasn't hurt anybody. The only thing you could possibly say about Lebanon is that internally, they have a militia movement. It's not the Lebanese government. It's not Lebanon as a people. There is a militia inside Lebanon called Hezbollah that does not allow Israel to take over Lebanon. And that's their purpose, and that's what they do, and that's what they've always done. They were crucial in the fight against ISIS. In fact, General Wesley Clark at one point said ISIS was created specifically to defeat Hezbollah, but it was Hezbollah training and operatives helping Bashar al-Assad to defeat ISIS, and it means that the whole area isn't a giant caliphate right now. But they're not a terrorist organization, like people often say. Like, I don't think there's really any history of them ever attacking a civilian population for no reason. Maybe if it's a settler colony inside Lebanon. Maybe there's some of that, but you don't have to like the attack on the Marines in Beirut in 1983. I certainly don't. But I can't call it terrorism necessarily. It was an attack on a military installation. So, I mean, these words matter. The definition matters. If you're not killing civilians, I don't know how you're called a terrorist group. It's a militia. It's a group of individuals that are well-armed and defending their homeland. So the point I'm making is that, what is the justification? I mean, any of the justifications, I don't think they're valid, but any of the ones that are applied to Iran, again, you can argue about that. I don't think they are legitimate, but they certainly don't apply to Lebanon. Other than Hezbollah being an Iranian proxy group, which just means that they got, funding and weaponry from Iran, but they haven't done anything to anybody. Again, I'd say what Israel did to Gaza wasn't a valid response to October 7th, but at least there was October 7th. At least there was some sort of inciting incident. What is the inciting incident with Lebanon? They just exist. They just happen to live there where they have lived for 5,000 years. I mean, what is the danger they pose? What is the threat? Are they getting nuclear weapons? Do they have a ballistic missile program that we have to defend against? Did they storm into Israel and kill 1,000 people and take 100 hostages? No? No, so they just live next to Israel. So therefore, they should all be murdered. They should all be turned to dust. They made the bad decision of being born where Israel wants to be, so now they have to suffer the consequences from it. Here is opposition leader of Israel, Yair Lapid, talking about what they should do to innocent neighbor Lebanon. Let's watch. He says, regarding Lebanon, I'll even go a little farther than what Ram said. I think that in the end, we'll have no choice but to try to create some kind of sterile zone in southern Lebanon. Not huge, but something a little like the yellow line in Gaza. That is an area in which there are no Lebanese villages, but is completely clean territory between the last Lebanese and the first Israeli settlement. I was in Metula and Kiryat Shemona today. They can't continue to live like this. There is a limit. And yes, it would be unaesthetic. Evil is what he means. It would not be pleasant to scrape off two or three Lebanese villages. But they brought this on themselves. It's their problem. You know, they exist. So no one told them to become the guest state of a terrorist organization. Yeah, we'll just have to wipe a couple villages off the map. But it's their fault for being where we want to attack. So, again, I mean, this is what we're dealing with. We're just dealing with a psychotic, expansionist, aggressive, rogue state that is openly announcing their plan to ethnically cleanse another huge portion of the world. And they got away with it in Gaza. Why wouldn't they think they could get away with it again? Why shouldn't they be flattening entire city blocks in an incredibly populous capital city of a nation that they're not even at war with? And that's cooperating with them as much as they can. Because they're evil, because they're just evil, and they'll push you as far as you can take it. And the reason why I harp on Hezbollah so much should be obvious to anybody. They represent the blueprint for resistance. If there's one thing that has been reemphasized over and over to us from the actions taking place in the Middle East over the last couple of years, it's that the only thing that really matters is physical force. International agreements, you know, good feelings from countries around the world, like it might help diplomatically a little bit. At the end of the day, if you have a gun in your hand, they have to talk to you. They have to deal. They can't drive you out. If you have missiles in underground cities, that's even better. That's even more of a reason that they have to respect you. And look, I wish it wasn't the case. I wish that we did live in a world of law and order, of the international community, of, you know, flagrantly anti-human genocidal activity, inspiring a corresponding outrage and righteous fury that, you know, puts those people in their place. We don't live in that world anymore. Or if we ever did, it was always an illusion. So just understand, like, if you're armed and willing to fight, then you can have a place at the table. If you're not, then you will be wiped off the table. You will be ignored. You will be crucified and eradicated. Okay? So, when it comes to Hezbollah, I just think they have a very smart strategy of survival, because capitulation inevitably leads to destruction. And I want to go to a video of theirs, clip number 29. This was posted by Hezbollah with the phrase, quote, "We will knock on the gates of paradise with the skulls of Zionists." Let's watch. Intense. That's some pretty intense stuff they got going there. Kind of scary. I'm scared of them. They're so scary. Such scary guys. I just want to shatter illusions. I just want this insane mindset of the boomers that the people we're dealing with over there are irrational, they're religious extremists that can't be reasoned with, they're goat herders that, you know, live in mud huts and, you know, don't know what the hell they're dealing with. If you don't understand your enemy, you're going to lose. And if you don't respect your enemy, you're never going to understand them. The people that we are fighting in the Middle East, first of all, are right. They are defending their homeland. They are the aggrieved party. There's nobody that can honestly say that Iran or Lebanon has done anything to deserve what's being done to them right now, except that their only crime has been not deliberately disarming themselves so that they make an easy target for the Zionist. So they're smart, they're capable, and if there's any justice in the world, they'll win because they have God on their side. Am I wrong? I mean, is what we're doing godly? Is what we're doing in line with what the God of the universe wants? We're bombing elementary schools. We're bombing hospitals. We're bombing police stations. We're bombing parks that happen to be named after police because we're using AI to find civilian targets in this massive country of 90 million people. We're systematically eradicating their ability to simply exist. And we think we're the good guys. And I just noticed that Iran is taking a very interesting and I think will be a very effective tack. There's an interview with Jackson Hinkle, who I'm not a fan of, but he was interviewing an Iranian who said, look, we're not at war with the Americans. We're trying to free the Americans from the Zionist entity that enslaves them. And it's like, look, I get that it's just propaganda. I get that, you know, but my question is, why has that not been said before? Why is that not, like, why, and I'd say, like, same thing to China, same thing to all these groups. It's a brilliant, you know, propaganda strategy to take, and I think it's going to be effective. I don't really care. I'm not talking about the, you know, reality of it or not right now, but it's smart for the Iranian leadership to constantly be framing this conflict as free people versus the Epstein class, as a sovereign nation versus the cabal of Zionists that have infiltrated and have taken control of America but aren't Americans and don't represent America. And honestly, it's just another thing that's like, I've heard a lot of Iranians from very high positions say stuff very similar to this. And it just makes me think of how much more like respectful and decent their leadership is than ours. Again, maybe it's cynical. Maybe they're just like, hey, this will be convenient. Like, I'm not an idiot. I get that, like, you know, hey, we want the American people to turn against their government. We better say this. Trust me, I'm not falling for anything. But our leadership is out here going, the Khomeini didn't like us, so we killed him. Soleimani didn't like us, so we blew him up and his family, too. And it's like, okay, so our people are the unreasonable people. Our people are the vicious, the violent, the hateful, the terrorist, the bombing innocent civilian populations. Well, meanwhile, the Iranian people seem to at least rhetorically be saying, hey, we get it. It's not the American people that are our enemy. It's your leadership. We have the same enemies. And at the end of the day, I don't know. I hate all the people that Khomeini hated. So what does that mean? You tell me.
About to embark on a great adventure.
President Truman has chosen you and your crew to lead a highly classified mission.
Where do we pick up our escort?
There will be no escort.
All I can tell you is that this cargo can end the war. You can save millions of lives.
You are my crew. And our survival depends on all of you functioning as one unit.
Yes, sir!
A short time ago, an American airplane dropped one bomb on Hiroshima. With this bomb, we have now added a new and revolutionary increase in destruction.
Now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds.
Captain! There's something in the water!
It's a Japanese bomb!
All hands, your battle station is braced for impact.
Hasha!
Incoming, incoming, incoming!
Hasha! Get out! Now!
End of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have Dodge for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March mega sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexhomestore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm going to go out to your phone calls here momentarily. There's two little things I want to cover. First, I thought this was a very brilliant response from Norman Finkelstein. Norman Finkelstein is a very, very well-respected and capable opponent to Israel and Zionists and the Gaza war in particular. And he was asked about anti-Semitism, and I thought his response was so perfect in understanding the changing landscape of psychology around this word. And I think his response really reveals the absurdity of the claims we're hearing right now about anti-Semitism. I think you'll see what I'm talking about. Here's Norman Finkelstein, clip number 17.
I think it's pretty undeniable, at least from my own experience, that there is very rampant anti-Semitism in the United States, at least.
That's your experience?
That has been my experience.
Are you Jewish?
I'm half Jewish. But it's not necessarily that it's directed at me, but people growing up, slurs against other races aren't tolerated, but slurs against Jews I would hear pretty regularly. Lots of Jew jokes where you wouldn't be able to make black jokes.
I don't agree with that at all. First of all, there was an era in which one calculated anti-Semitism not by a person's thoughts, because you can't control a person's thoughts, And even you can't control your thoughts. And even you probably can't figure out what's your quote-unquote real motive for whatever you do. Are you interviewing me now because of a sincere inquiry into the life of the mind? Or does it have an egotistical component? Or does it go back to something your mother said when you were 5 years old? You know, the human psyche is very complicated. And it's not susceptible to easy analysis or control. So there was an era where nobody ever thought about those things. When you talked about anti-Semitism, it meant, does it affect your job opportunities? Does it affect your access to higher certain institutions of higher education? Does it affect where you're going to live? Does it affect negatively your interactions with the law? That's what anti-Semitism meant. They were quantifiable, palpable, lucid expressions of this phobia, whatever you want to call anti-Semitism, okay? By that reckoning, can you name me a place in the United States where a Jew would have trouble purchasing a home or renting an apartment? Name me one place. I'd be curious. Can you name me one university, one college, one, in the whole United States, where a Jew would have trouble getting in because he or she was Jewish? One. Could you name me one profession? Does the medical profession discriminate against Jews? There's a legal profession. I mean, that was once a problem. That's why Jewish law firms are created, because they couldn't get into the white shoe WASP law firms. Does that exist anymore? So this is just completely and totally ridiculous to talk about anti-Semitism in the United States. On the contrary, being Jewish gets you into professions. It's an asset in our society. In publishing, being Jewish makes a big difference. You know what they used to call the New York Review of a book? They called the New York Review of each other's books, and they were all Jewish.
The New York Review of each other's books. That's funny. Yeah, it's Norman Fee, just laying it out exactly. And like when you really think about what he's saying, it really explains how absurd it is that we're having anti-Semitism laws introduced in this country, and we absolutely are, and I can show you more videos of that, but I want to go out to your phone calls, and I just thought that was a brilliant breakdown by Normal Finkelstein of just the absurdity of how ridiculous it is that now anti-Semitism is basically you have to like us or else you're an anti-Semite. You have to not just like us, but actively support everything that we do all the time, or else you're anti-Semitic. You're not then fighting against hate. You are simply imposing tyrannical thought control. That's what's actually happening here. With that, we've got to your phone calls. Rock in California has called in. Go ahead, Rock. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well, thank you. How are you?
Good, good, man. I've been listening to you guys for about 4 or 5 years now. My first time calling. A friend of mine, Tammy, turned me on to you guys. Been listening ever since. My question is in regards to during the 4 years that Biden was president, we saw all types of militant fighting age males coming across the border. Do you think any of those would be Iran? Are they here? Do you think they have like cells here? And if so, what do you think the potential dangers are of them being here and what they might do?
Well, that's a good question. I think it would be very silly to think that there aren't cells here. I mean, I just always try to think of it through the mindset of the people who would be doing it if it was happening. Like if I was Iran and I knew that, you know, America had it out for me, I mean, they've been trying to kill me for 50 years or whatever. And I also know that they have a wide open border. Like you bet your ass I'm sending operatives in there. I would be sending as many as I humanly could. There would be no risk.
Right.
The greatest risk is that they're, you know, sent to Philadelphia rather than Omaha, right? It's like, so absolutely I would be sending stay behind networks. That being said, and I just told you about the spokesperson for Iran basically coming out and saying, you know, Iran's not at war with America, the American people. We're at war with the people who are controlling America, the Zionists. So again, if I was Iran, I would be thinking the last thing I want is a bunch of Iranian operatives doing terrorist attacks in America, because one of their greatest assets at this moment is the American people's unwillingness to wage this war. So the last thing they want to do is unify America behind the idea that Iran is a threat. So if I was them strategically, I would not be activating my stay behind networks. The only way that I would activate them would be specifically to go after valid political targets, knowing that ultimately it's about winning the hearts and minds of the American people. Again, from their perspective, that's how I would operate. And actually, if I was Israel, I would be working on carrying out false flags to blame on Iran, because again, that's just the fact that if widespread, certainly widespread, but really if any stay behind terroristic networks from, you know, Iranians starts popping off in America, then you'll see support for the war skyrocket overnight. So Ki Bono, who would benefit in a thing like that, obviously not the Iranians. So for them to carry that out would be an act of suicidal stupidity. And from what I've seen so far, they, unlike our leadership, are not suicidal when it comes to decisions they make. So how's that answer for you, Rock?
No, that's an awesome answer, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, sir. Let's go to Leonidas in Wisconsin. Leonidas, great name. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Harrison. I agree with you that the stuff with Israel and Jewish control is kind of like out of control in the U.S. And, you know, it's like a threat of national security, you know, with our military and defending them. But there's also this Muslim situation that we've been dealing with in Christendom for a long time. And I can't see how now that we've killed essentially the Pope of Islam and doing this war with Iran as not a big W for Christendom for the history books. And, you know, like I chose the name Leonidas because, like, I think like all our ancestors who have been fighting Islam would be for the war. Me, myself, I'm a Serbian, you know, and, well, American Serbian, and, you know, we suffered under about 569 years of slavery in Serbia, our own country, countless attacks. You know, we had prima noctem, where, like, every Serb marriage, the Persian Arabic soldier got to spend the first night with the wife, you know, and I think the Islamic caliphate that's been growing through Europe, like Tommy Robinson was talking about, you know, and the lawyer you were talking with yesterday, is a threat to Christendom and the West. And it's kind of like, you know, we're surrounded, so we have to attack in all directions. And I think that's partially what Trump is doing with this Iran conflict. And I wanted to hear your thoughts on that, how this isn't a big W for Christendom.
You know, I wish it was. Like, I wish that is what was motivating us, and I wish this would mean that Christianity would benefit in some way. I just don't see that, right? So, like, probably the biggest blow to Christianity probably ever, but certainly in our lifetimes, has obviously been the influx of migrants into Europe, right? So you could say that you could frame, you know, Iraq as a you know, Muslim extremism. You could, you know, say that Libya was, you know, a Muslim caliphate, an aspect of the caliphate. The destruction of those led directly to the biggest threat against Christianity that Christianity's ever faced. So I think, like, long-term, this is not going to spread Christianity. I mean, hell, there are a million Christians in Iran right now. I don't see a lot of, you know, consideration for them happening. Israel just bombed another church in Lebanon. I could show you those videos. Obviously, Lebanon is like a third Christian, but they're now, you know, suffering under the bombing from Israel. So I don't know why it's so hard for people to break out of the dichotomy. Like, to me, it's not confusing. It's not contradictory. These things are not mutually exclusive. It's like Islam, giant threat. Judaism, giant threat. What is the issue? Like, this is what I don't understand. Why is this even a problem? Like, what, you know, what is the confusion here? It's like, if you ever played rock, paper, scissors, you know, the rock is not on the papers team just because they both fight scissor, right? It's like, this is the situation that we're in. And I wish this was for our benefit. And I would, you know, if everything was the same except Israel, like, just wasn't a component of any of this, I might not even have that big of a concern when it came to Iran. If it was just like America doing America business, like, hell yeah, go around, do it. But it's not, but none of that's for us. There was a video yesterday of Kai Trump, I think her name is, right? Trump's granddaughter. She's like 20 years old. She's like a social media girl. She does like, she's like a pro golfer. And she posts a video where she's on a tarmac and it's just like a selfie video, like you'd see a girl do at like a concert or something. But behind her are these V-22 Osprey dual rotor, you know, military helicopters. And I'm watching it. I'm just like, aesthetically, from optics, this is like my ideal. It's like perfect. I love it. I wish this was the way the world was. Guys, see if you can find it. Kai Trump, military helicopter. Search that. Because it was like yesterday. And I want you to see the visual, because I think it'll make clear what I'm talking about. Because if we were doing this for America, if America was sovereign and followed our own inclinations and worked for our own people, it's like the ideal to me is like the teenage American princess gallivanting around the world with an escort of like V-22 Osprey gunships. You know, it's like visually, optically, I like love this. I love the idea of like, yeah, this is America and she is America. You know, the Romans used to have this thing where, like, you know, the Romans, anywhere they went, they were just in charge. You couldn't mess with them, because anybody knew if you messed with a Roman, you got Rome on the other end of the line, right? If you messed, it's just any Roman person, if you try to mess with them and you know, throw them in jail, then the legions are going to come and burn your country to the ground. And so it was like anywhere a Roman went, it was like, don't mess with that guy. There's a story of a Roman diplomat, and he wants a king to fight for Rome. And the king says, I'll have to think about it. And so the Roman diplomat takes a stick and he draws a circle around the guy's feet. And he says, don't leave the circle until you have an answer for me. And it's like, who's the, you know, this other guy's a king, but this guy's Roman. And when you're Roman, it doesn't matter if you're a farmer or a warrior or a senator, you're Roman, which means Rome has your back. So I say all this to be like, the ideal, the image that the Trump administration is putting across is as if America is the new Rome, and as if, you know, again, I love the idea of just like, yeah, she's like an American princess. And she, if she wants to go to Oman, she can go to Oman, because who's going to stop her? You and what army, right? She's got America at her back. Everywhere she goes is hers. If she wants it, like the power of America expressing that, and visually you get to see it a little bit, but then it's all just poisoned by the knowledge that we don't benefit from any of this. This is just costing us endlessly. And, you know, maybe this is a good time to talk about this, because just putting this in perspective over the last couple decades, and let's start with this. Let's go to this clip. This has been going viral recently. And for those of you that may have missed the 1990s here in America in the early 2000s, I'm here to tell you that this was exactly what it was like. Let's go to clip number 19 here. Point of view, this is the last day of school before winter break ends, in perhaps the year 2001. Let's watch. Again, this has gone viral, and it just shows sort of, you know, what America was like before the demographic attack. You know, what it was like just after the fall of the Soviet Union. We were on top of the world, you know. Nothing could stop us. We were unopposed. Everything was wholesome and nice and well-made and, you know, just the top of everything. It was great. It was, we didn't know how good we had it. Now, in the time since that video was captured, right, the last 25 years or so, what has happened to America? I'm not saying it was perfect back then, but why is America at this point now just rife with just corruption and filth and incompetency and just meaninglessness and strife? And it's just awful, right? I mean, the economy is worse. Never be able to afford a house. Just everything has gotten so much worse. And it's like, why? Why in that time period? And the answer is because in the last 25 years, the greatest nation the world has ever produced, the strongest, most powerful population Earth has ever disgorged by a factor of 10, has just been ground down, has been like shredded by endless wars overseas. Where is the benefit? If we were an empire, every war we waged would enrich us. If we were like a real empire, every single military activity we would carry out would end with immediate, tangible benefits for the people at home. And look, you don't have to like empire, but if we have an empire, shouldn't it benefit us? I mean, if we run the world and we have all these bases all over the world, why are we constantly pinching pennies? Why can we not afford, you know, basic functions of government, basic amenities for the American people? Why is it that we operate like an empire when it comes to the negatives, but we never get any of the positives of empire? Like, that's an issue. If we had one or the other, I'd be fine. If we just dealt with things at home, didn't have overseas crap, didn't worry about in the Middle East, that would be ideal. That would be the best. How did it become the situation where we endlessly intervene overseas? We endlessly put our lives and our treasure on the line to do things overseas. And then the payoff is always that we get weaker. We get an influx of migrants from the people that we were fighting. We just get degraded across the board. Our life suffers. What is this? Like, there should be a new term for this or something. It's an inverted empire. It's an empire where all of our imperial activity costs us rather than rewards us. It's crazy. And so this chart says, how many countries has the U.S. bombed since 2001? Since the 9/11 attacks, the U.S. has engaged in three full-scale wars and bombed at least 10 countries across four presidents. And listen to this list of pathetic, we have, like I said, ground our empire on, ground it down to nothing, to a nub. Afghanistan, Iraq, Yemen, Pakistan, Somalia, Libya, Syria, Venezuela, Nigeria, and Iran. And Iran just the latest. Like every president bombed like at least four of these. Obama was probably the worst at bombing like all of them all the time. But are you telling me Afghanistan brought low our empire? Was it Iraq that brought our empire low? I mean, we won those technically. Not really Afghanistan, but, you know, we occupied it for 20 years. Yemen, did the great nation of Yemen pose a threat? Could they stand toe-to-toe with America? No, folks, no. No. These were all wars of choice against just vastly weaker, pathetic, really, enemies. But it wasn't about winning, and it wasn't about victory. So all these places are worse off. All these places are hellholes now. Libya was functional. Now it's a open-air prison, just chaos. It's where all the European refugees came out of Africa, right? Iraq, total failed state. Basically, our enemy siding with Iran now. Afghanistan, obviously, we gave back to the Taliban. So in 20 years, we have taken, well, really 30. If you want to take it back to 1990, that would be our apex, right? That was the peak. That was the fall of the Soviet Union. We stand alone as global hegemony, just dominant across the entire planet. And yet in those 35 years since then, we've just lost it all. We have watched it all just be spent on nothing. Nothing. We've gained nothing. Everywhere we've gone to war is just a chaotic mess now. We haven't benefited in the slightest. It's cost us trillions and trillions of dollars, and everybody overseas hates us. So it's not even like we're waging some righteous war that even though it wasn't materially worth it, morally we had to do it. No. The American empire at its height in 1990, instead of creating a world where America and our ancestors are just luxuriating in the comforts and benefits of the incredible power that we've wielded, it's all been stolen from us, and it has all been just ground down, just like shredding a big block of cheese into just a little nub. On Iraq and Somalia. Again, I'd even might be okay with it if we actually went toe-to-toe with the USSR and lost. Like, hey, at least we gave it a good fight, right? At least it was this powerful, impressive empire on the other side of the world that had just tens of millions of, you know, de facto slave workers to drive towards us in hordes. Like, if it was an epic clash of civilizations and the American empire was brought low by an equally powerful foe, no. We have ground ourselves down for nothing. Israel's doing great. Israel's benefiting a lot. At the end of this Iran war, Israel will stand alone as hegemonic force in the Middle East. And once again, we will have spent God knows how much money, God knows how many lives, and the outcome, inevitably, without even the possibility that something different happens, the outcome will be that America suffers, that we gain absolutely nothing, that we lose a ton. We may end up losing ourselves in the process. Well, Pete Hegseth says, no, we're not taking any refugees from Iran. Well, great, but you started this deeply unpopular, frankly retarded war, meaning you're getting voted out of office very soon as humanly possible, which means the people that come in next are absolutely going to open up the floodgates to migrants. And meanwhile, we're doing nothing to fix any of the problems that exist in our world. So this is why we're not entertaining discussion about this. This is not a discussion. This is a foregone conclusion. America, once again, like we have 10 million times in the last 30 years, once again, taking our incredible power, our incredible wealth, the incredible prosperity and genius of us, the American people, and we are simply shredding it for the sake of people who hate us. Giving it all away, sacrificing all of it for people who would gouge our eyes out if they thought they could get away with it. So that's my answer. That is my answer. And again, it's like, I just go back to that, you know, the image. You could imagine a world where the you know, president's daughter is out gallivanting around with the contingent of flying fortresses, and as you watch it, you think, there's my country bringing back the goods, empowering and enriching us, the American people. Instead, all I see is fools being taken advantage of, suckers being fed into the meat grinder so that our enemies can feast.
Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or, you know, in the arena, and he says, are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you can become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click of your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on top of everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet, up to 40% off store-wide, 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like ultramethylene blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March mega sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. I'm going to salute you and thank you. Take action now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.